want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is Growing Through Resistance. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
People will leave their thoughts unguarded. And many times, especially when they're experiencing frustration because of some kind of resistance they have in their life. And when we leave our thoughts unguarded to run, our flesh usually ignores God's purposes. When we ignore God's purposes, we become ignorant. So, our flesh is not interested in God's purposes. It couldn't care less. And when we allow our flesh to take the lead during frustration, then we forget about God's purposes. And again, we prolong the process of frustration and resistance that we're in. So when we allow our thoughts to run unguarded, it can become a deadly thing, because then we'll start running our mouth and saying things, literally cursing our own lives by the things we say. So by reining in our thoughts, we reject the potential for divisiveness to occur. There's a law called cause and effect. And so God is the cause of righteous frustration, and the effect depends on your response of it. So let's talk about this. Three stages of growing through resistance. Now, we've been talking about the fact that resistance brings frustration, but now let's just get back to talking about the resistance and how we grow through resistance. Stage one, and there's three stages. Stage one is this. Resistance is sent to cause us to have an encounter with God. Anytime we're dealing with resistance, it's God saying, run to me. Come to me. Come find out. Come hear what I have to say to you. And usually when there's resistance, although God is resisting us, telling us to go back around the mountain when we're operating in pride, he's wanting us to ask him to reveal to us what the issue is. And the longer it takes for us to ask him to reveal to us, to expose ourselves to him, the longer that trip around the mountain takes. So when we pause, when we see God's holding his hand up, when he's saying, talk to the hand, then you need to ask him, Lord, what is it? Show me, reveal to me. What is it I need to repent of here? And remember, what repent means doesn't mean I'm saying, I'm sorry I did that. Repentance means I don't want to think about this the same way I've always thought about it. I want to think about it the way you think about it. I want your thoughts, God. I want to begin to think like you instead of my own natural carnal thoughts that this world and my carnal nature has trained me to think like. And so the purpose of a God encounter, let's talk about that. There's several of those subpoints. A God encounter, number one, is to draw us into intimacy with the Lord. This whole, Bob Mumford series that we watched, he talked a lot about that God wants us, it's the agape road. He wants intimacy with us. He wants us to walk his way so that we can really know his heart and experience his heart. It draws us to intimacy with the Lord. Paul's prayer in Philippians 3:10, he says, that I might know him more. And that word know doesn't just mean some kind of a head knowledge. It's I truly know this person. I have experiential time with them. And so the more important reason for an encounter or the most important reason for an encounter with God is intimacy with Him or friendship with Him. Number two, an encounter with God is to reveal the Father's love to us. Song of Solomon 2:4 says, He brought me to the banqueting table or to the banqueting house. His banner over me is love. God wants to reveal His love to us. Romans 5:5, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So the second reason for the encounter with God is so that God can love on us. Sometimes God will allow you to have some resistance so that you can, so that you'll run to Him as quickly as you can, so that, because He just loves to wrap you up and hug on you and love on you a little bit. Just like you would your kids or grandkids. And so number three is the encounter with God is to transform our character. Now we kind of talked about that a little bit. That's that transformation, stage. To transform our character. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 through 28, you probably are familiar with the story. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Now, Jacob, the word Jacob means supplanter. Now, a lot of people have defined that, and I'm not sure where they get this from, but they have defined the name Jacob as deceiver. It's not really deceiver. That's not the real meaning. It is supplanter. And what is a supplanter? A supplanter is someone who seizes or usurps from others. Now, in his case, he was doing it wrongly. Okay. He was doing it through deception. And so that's probably why they believe it means the deceiver. But the name Jacob itself doesn't mean deceiver. Okay. So, but it's someone that seizes. Another definition I saw was it's someone who takes a bulldog grip, like the grip of a dog on something and refuses to let it go. Okay. And so he changed his name now from Jacob, supplanter, to Israel. Israel means contends with God to not let go of him until God's blessing, the right thing, was manifested in his life. So the difference, the change was not that he went from just being a deceiver to someone that wrestles with God, but it was the thing that he was pursuing. It was the intention of his heart was not to take from man, but to receive from God. Okay. And there's a big difference in that. All right. So, but he had a change of character. We know about the Apostle Paul when he was still Saul in Acts chapter 9. I like to say he got knocked off his high horse. He had a little bit of a change of attitude, right? There was a transformation that took place in him once he came face to face with Jesus. So people are transformed when they encounter God. They're changed from the inside out. Number four reason for an encounter with God is to refresh or to encourage us. I love Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." So again, God is always looking for the opportunity to refresh us because he knows we need it. I mean, we live in this world. We need refreshing. But and encouragement. And that it's the kind that it doesn't come from people. It has to come from God. Okay. During Elijah's time of frustration, God revealed himself to him in a new way. And so you remember the story whenever he was up on the mountain and, you know, he's telling the servant, "Go out and tell me what you see." And finally he says, "I see the cloud, the size of a man's hand and all that." Well, while he was up there on that mountain, he was looking for God in all these various things, in the wind and in the fire and all that. But what God revealed to him was that God speaks in a still small voice. Okay. And so there was God revealed himself to him in a new way. All right. Fifth reason for an encounter is to give us direction or calling, or we might say to make that calling known to us. Exodus 3 tells us about Moses' encounter with God at the burning bush. It was a real encounter, where he received his calling. And so we know that obviously that calling was extremely important, but it took an encounter with God for that to happen, because Moses was living on the backside of the desert tending sheep. And, you know, he had already forgot about his calling to deliver the children of Israel. But God was calling Moses to do something great for him. And so he had an encounter with him. Number six, and this is the final one of the reasons for an encounter. And again, remember, we're talking about an encounter with God, is to give us physical and emotional healing. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 through 21. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And she said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. So that's just an example. There are many examples of that in the scripture. But after people encounter the Lord, they're saved. And I'm talking about when they've had a real encounter. They're saved, they're delivered, and they're healed. They are transformed. Amen? Tell your neighbor, there will be resistance.
There will be resistance.
But we must grow through it.
But we must grow through it.
And listen, we must choose to grow through it.
We must choose.
It doesn't just happen automatically.
Amen.
All right, stage two. Remember, we said there were three stages of growing through resistance. Stage two, resistance should cause us to stand in the gap and intercede for others now. So the effect is an impartation of the Holy Spirit that empowers and inspires us to love others. And, you know, it's a real simple thing. I think we've all experienced this. Sometimes you may not have compassion for another person who's going through something until you yourself go through it. Sometimes you could just completely ignore it, just kind of look over it and think it's no big deal, you know, and they ought to just get their attitude right, or they ought to just do this, or they ought to just do that. Well, that's easy to say when you're not walking through it. So the effect is again, it's an impartation of the Holy Spirit that empowers and inspires us to love others, but also to, because we know the answer. So when that resistance leads us into an encounter with God, it deals with our self-centeredness and gets us focused on why we're really here. Because again, the universal problem of man is self-centeredness. Nobody has to teach us to be self-centered. We are just naturally that way. So it deals with our self-centeredness, gets us focused on why we're really here. You know, before I've heard testimony after testimony of people who were just blowing and going in life, doing their own thing, and until they hit major resistance in their life. And really what happened is their will had to be broken, and they had to come to that breaking place in their life, just like, you know, like I think John Bevere talks about, we're going through a John Bevere series in our men's Bible study, but where John Bevere talks about that God wants us broken. Now, that doesn't mean broken like just in pieces that can't be used and can't. No, it's like he said, you could have the absolute fastest, most talented, strongest thoroughbred out there, but he's useless to the owner if he's not broken.
Yeah.
Right? So what is the breaking? It's the breaking of the will. God's not trying to destroy us. He just wants us to come to the place where Jesus was, the greatest human that ever lived, and say, not my will, but yours be done.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then God can turn an entire world upside down with that person. So again, it deals with our self-centeredness and gets us focused on why we're really here. If we never had resistance, we would probably remain self-centered, and we would lack compassion for those who are now experiencing some kind of resistance at the time. And so again, There's a reason for the resistance. Tell your neighbor again, there will be resistance. But we must choose to grow through it. All right. And then the third stage here is that resistance should cause us to arrive at a place of being a good and faithful, we'll use the word trustworthy servant, after passing the test of selflessness. Understand that stage three can only happen when we've succeeded in stage one and two. So until we press through that place, come to that place of brokenness before the Lord, then we can never really arrive at stage three. So God, in other words, we will never be a person that God can count as trustworthy. And we're warned over and over again of those who are untrustworthy servants. And so stage three, again, is very important. It's where we all want to get to. So there is a fruit produced from handling resistance rightly. And not a fruit, it's fruit, plural. Number one, when we handle resistance rightly, we can have prayer that produces results. When we handle it rightly, there's an understanding of the heart of God that we could not have had any other way. Number three, there is an alignment of our desires with God's desires. That's exactly what we're talking about when we say, not my will, but your will be done. That what I'm really doing is God's desires now become my desires. And when that happens, the reason prayer is effective now is because now when I pray, because I have the same desires as God, I'm going to pray according to His will. And if I pray according to His will, 100% guaranteed, 100% of the time, that prayer will be answered. And it is yes and amen. So once we find out what His will is and we begin to stand on that and, of course, resist the enemy on that, then we're going to see the result of that. It'll be a prayer that produces results. And so I now begin to think like God, where used to my thinking was opposed to God. Number four, there is the birthing of a holy passion for the release of an impartation of the power of God to people. So when I am in that place where I handle resistance rightly, something happens on the inside of me to where I can't just live life just going through the motions anymore. I can't just live life just trying to, breathe some more air and eat some more food and experience some more pleasure. My life has to count for something. I begin to have a holy passion to release an impartation of the power of God to people. And then number five is patience. Patience is absolutely impossible to get without dealing with resistance. That's why I always tell people, you don't have to pray for patience. You're going to have plenty of opportunity to practice patience. You're going to have, you can't even come to patience without some kind of resistance going on in your life. In fact, I encourage you, don't pray for patience. Don't pray for humility either. The Bible says humble yourself, right? Patience will come when we handle resistance the way we're supposed to. That patience will come because the patience is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we're taking on the heart of God. Now, what is patience? It's the ability to wait with peace for God to work His plan. Pastor Cindy says something, I've heard her say it a few times, that it really makes a lot of sense. She says, every prison in America is filled with people who were not patient. Anytime somebody's going to rob something or they're going to do, whatever, kill somebody, it's a lack of patience. They want what they want when they want it. And they have no moral code that'll hold them back from doing it. And if they just been patient and done things the right way. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day and they were talking about their culture. And they said, you know, it's a shame. He is a minister. And he said, it's a shame I see our young people. He said, and it was somebody from this town. He said, all these young people, we see, I see all their potential. He said, but all of them could be serving the Lord and be doing powerful things in the kingdom of God. He said, but they all wanted that easy money. And he said, most of these kids, talking about kids he saw growing up in his neighborhood with all that potential, great athletes and everything else. And he said, most of them are either in debt or in prison because they wanted to get that fast money standing on the corner selling drugs instead of being patient and allowing God to work in their life and doing things right. He said, now they're destroying their lives. And, you know, he was grieved over it. And I understand that. So, listen, here's a principle that I've shared before that applies perfectly right here. And again, this is something I have quoted before. I've actually put it on Facebook before. But we need to always remember that the God who will not explain himself before an event will reveal his purposes after we've trusted him. He may not always speak initially, but he always speaks eventually. And the way we respond to God and his plan is our proving or testing ground. And the purpose of the resistance should cause us as we are being tested, to see whether we can inhabit the place that God wants to give us. There is a place, there is a life that he wants us to have, but the resistance that we have to face is a test to see whether we can actually inhabit that place. Now, let me explain that a little bit. Judges chapter 3, verse 1 through 4 says, these are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. We read that a little earlier, but look what it says right after that. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath, they were left to test or to resist the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands which he had given their forefathers through Moses. So, again, what is he really talking about? Because along with the commands was the promise of the promised land. So the test was to see whether or not they would obey the Lord's commands. And here's the thing, that the enemy, part of the way that the enemy was bringing defeat to Israel was not by warfare, but it was by getting the Israelites to accept and their culture and their false gods.
Yeah, that's true.
And so he was waiting to see if they were going to obey the Lord's commands that he had given their forefathers through Moses. Because there was a land, there was a promise, there was something he wanted to give. But they had to be able to inhabit that land. So Adam, here's another example. Adam was given the Garden of Eden to determine if he would be able to rule the earth. Had to start in the Garden of Eden. But he couldn't even handle the garden. So how was he going to fulfill the commission that God put on his life to rule the entire earth? And so he failed. We know he failed in that. So success in the arena of dealing with resistance reveals a whole lot of things about a person. They have a genuine substance in their relationship with God whenever they can go through the resistance. And it doesn't mean powering through your own flesh and your own ability. It means powering through and not letting your flesh rule and letting the will of God rule and the Holy Spirit lead you. And so there's a genuine substance in their relationship. They understand, at least in part, some of the ways that God works. And they don't strive or promote themselves. You know, one of the things that I see over and over again, especially in ministry, and I'm talking about like in the behind the pulpits even, is there's so much self-promotion. It's like, I can't even, you know, you can watch who you want to watch on TV and so on, but I can hardly stand to even watch Christian television anymore. Because you get a few minutes of word and 30 minutes of promotion. And it's disgusting. And I don't believe God intended for it to be that way. It's a few minutes of the word and 30 minutes of, or 25 minutes of selling their product and so on and so forth. And I think God has a problem with that. And so, again, there's something about when there is a genuineness in a person, they're not going to be somebody that's promoting themselves. They're going to be somebody that's promoting God and His glory and His kingdom. They've caught a glimpse into the heart of God and the joy that He finds in His creation. Why? Because they've pressed into Him. And so they have positioned themselves to see a lot of fulfillment, the potential that God has placed in their life, to see that come to fulfillment. And that's a beautiful thing. Again, I've said it many times, but I pray that none of us go to our grave full of regrets. I've done a lot of funerals over the years, and I know that some people, when they went to their grave, were full of regrets. And then there were others who I know they lived as the Apostle Paul said. He said, I've done my best. I run this race. You know, I try to give God all the glory as much as I possibly could. You know, it won't be perfect, but I want to get as close to it as I can. Amen. Don't want to go to the grave full of regrets. All right, tell your neighbor one more time, there will be resistance, but we must choose to grow through it. All right, so understand, this wasn't about salvation. This is about what we're doing after salvation, right? This is about fulfilling the potential that God has in our lives and not getting discouraged when the resistance comes, because it's going to come. And sometimes, listen, things are going to hit you so hard and come out of a place you never saw it coming. And God told me a long time ago, I shared this with the men the other day, some of the things that Pastor Cindy and I were going through early on in our ministry, and the Lord shared this with me. When I want to do an intense work through a person, I have to do an intense work in a person. And the only way that I can get that deep is they have to experience some things that are so unfair that they can't possibly explain it. Because if I can explain it, it doesn't have the same effect. But when we're treated in an unfair way, we just want to defend ourselves, because that's what comes natural. So when you experience pain so deep that it makes you want to vomit, just understand that's a sign. Not that God's doing that to you, but that's a sign that God is going to be able to do a deep, deep work in you that He could do no other way. Amen.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved, and your life is worth living.